So it was a Tuesday afternoon in 2009, and I started seeing messages on Facebook that we had just had an earthquake in Cleburne, Texas. And totally ruined that, thanks. No, it's fine. Put it. But we had an earthquake, 2.8 on the Richter scale. And if you know anything about earthquakes, most people don't feel a 2.8. But what was crazy was the ground was shifting beneath my feet, and I had no earthly idea. See, because when I think of earthquakes, I think of October 17th, 1989, just moments before the first pitch of Game 3 of the World Series between Oakland and San Francisco. And you remember the terrible Bay earthquake that brought chaos and devastation to that area, right? Literally, the ground beneath their feet wasn't just shifting, it was crumbling. And everything around them was falling apart. And if we're honest, life hits us like that at times. Life can be difficult. And we do have those really little quakes, but we also have some really big ones. And when we talk about those quakes, most of the time we all just jump to the really difficult times, the hard times. But the good times sometimes can be just as shaking. The ground can feel just as unstable. That first few months of a new marriage, while it's great, also brings with it challenges. The first child, the second child, the fourth child, the ninth child. It brings challenges. Maybe it's an addiction, maybe a diagnosis, maybe it's the end of the job, but the earth seems to move. And for Jesus' disciples, the earth is shaking beneath their feet. Because everything that they have known, everything that has been their life for the past 3 years is shifting and it is changing. Jesus is preparing his disciples to continue this mission of the kingdom of God without him. He's telling them that he's going to go away. He's telling them that one of them will betray him. And they are so uncertain about what comes next. But Jesus has broken bread. He shared. And he said in this moment, he who shared this bread has turned against me. But then he tells the disciples this, I am telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, that I am who I am. Right, we've heard that phrase before. I am who I am. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Judas has walked out of the room. The smell of bread and wine still linger. But the room is now full of uncertainty. Jesus is leaving. And he's leaving his disciples to continue this mission and this work. Their world is tilting. It's shifting. It's shaking. Just like ours does. Grief moves in and it won't leave. Our future becomes foggy. And in that moment, we don't need cliches. We don't need 5 easy steps. We need peace. We need presence. We need Jesus. We need the great I am. I am who I am. That phrase that echoes. Do I need that, Dustin? Just give it to me now. We need Jesus. Do you remember that phrase in Hebrew? I am. Ehweh. I am, or I will be. And it happens in that imperfect tense in Hebrew, which means that miraculously it can somehow be both past, present, and future. God promises His presence with His people. He promises above all to be there in the mess with His people. And so He goes on to tell them this: do not let your hearts be troubled. You have believed, trust, have faith in God. But believe also in me. He does not promise anything more than His presence. His presence to dwell with His people. This gentle invitation, trust me, I've got this, I've got you. And it is not a call to ignore reality. It is a call to anchor your heart in the one who holds it in His hands. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, or would I have told you, that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. And we hear that, and most of the time we think real estate. Mansion on a hilltop. But that understanding comes from a really, really poor translation in the King James. The mansion. Because it's not about a mansion. It's about God's presence and His invitation to His people to come and be present with Him. He doesn't use real estate language. He uses abiding language. He uses tabernacle language. The Greek word is mone, and it means dwelling place. It's the invitation to come and dwell. And that word is rooted in this other Greek word, a verb that we'll talk about next week, meno, to abide or remain or dwell in the presence of God. God only promises His presence. And how does His presence show up in the world? That's how John begins his gospel, right? The Word became flesh, and it made its dwelling among us. He entered into the mess. He entered into the shaky ground that we live in, that we walk on, the ground beneath our feet. And He says, I will be with you. And this is Jesus just simply saying to His disciples and to you and I as well, that you belong. There is a place here in my presence for you. Your story, your past, your healing, your wounds, they are not forgotten, and you belong. This is not a God who sends directions. This is a God who comes and walks with us. Ehweh,
I will be, I am with you. Ehwe. And then the disciples push back. And their questions come, I think, just like mine would, probably just like yours. As Jesus tells them, you know the way to where I am going. Respond, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Right, that's our assumption. Is that the way is always going to be this perfectly well-litten path. If this is God's will, then everything is going to line up. We're going to sing Kumbaya and everything will be perfect. And because we've followed Jesus, the path is going to be easy. But Jesus never promises you. He never promises me that life is going to be easy. The only thing he promises is his presence. Is life going to be difficult? Absolutely. Are you going to go through difficult times? Times where you hurt, times where you're afraid, times where you're anxious, times where you're restless? Absolutely. But God promises his presence among you. Not just some in obscure ways, but literally with you, in you. And our questions of God, what comes next? God, what does the next step look like? What am I supposed to do now? Or just simply met with this beautiful whisper. Ehwe, I am, I will be with you. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Because it's not, you know the way. Jesus doesn't come and say, I'll show you the way. Jesus steps into their world. He steps into their insecurity simply to say, I am the way. You don't need a map. You need a companion. And there will be seasons when the fog is thick. There will be seasons when you can't see the road in front of you. But know this, you are not alone. Ehwe is with you. And he has promised his presence. And then Philip, in this moment, blurts it out, and I think I would be the same. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And I just imagine Jesus in this moment, the parent who's frustrated with their child as they've explained over and over and over, and they still don't get it. He looks back at Philip and says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Philip, you've been walking with me so long. And the reason they are trying to stone me, the reason they are trying to kill me, is because I keep trying to tell people. It's not that I am one with God. I am God. I am God's presence here among you. And how is it that you've walked with me so long and you can't see that I and the Father are one? And I think we can all answer like Philip. I think we can probably all relate to Philip. Because sometimes our expectations of what God is going to do and how He's going to show up don't really go the way we were thinking they would. And we're left wondering. We're left with these questions of what next? God, what's the next step? God, what comes after this? God, is there hope? God, is there life? Because I'm in a really dark place. And Father, I'm struggling to see this. And I want to know, I want to believe that God is there. He's looking down on me. He loves me. And if you've ever asked yourself that question, where is God in this moment? God, do you see? God, do you hear? God, do you care? He answers it for us all definitively in sending Jesus, His Son, to this earth to live among us, to dwell with us. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Because there is never a moment God is not like Jesus. There is never a moment that God is not like Jesus. He is not distant. He is not angry. He is not out to exclude you. God is Ehwe. And Ehwe kneels to wash His disciples' feet. Ehwe welcomes the outsider. Ehwe heals the sick, the blind, the lame. Ehwe touches the leper. Ehwe feeds the hungry. Ehwe forgives the failing. Jesus is the clearest picture of God that we could possibly see. And there is never a moment that God is not like Jesus. God reveals Himself through a person. Through His Son, Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say this: very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. What is that greater things He has in mind? What is He thinking for us when He says you will do even greater things? Let me tell you, it's not tomorrow you're going to go walk on water. You can try, tell me how it goes. But what He does want you to know is that through the Spirit, Jesus is still at work in you. When you serve, when you love, when you forgive, when you bless, when you stand with the hurting, that's Jesus. And you may not feel like this is greater things than what Jesus did. But the Spirit is in you. And the beauty of the invitation is that we can bring our loaves and our fish, these small, meager offerings, and give them to Jesus, and He will do amazing things with them in the life of people. Because He's called you to be His hands and feet. He's called you to serve Him. To be Christ in this world so that people will see the beauty of Jesus in you. And I've said this before. I've met so many people who came to Jesus because people loved them and people served them. And people bent over backwards to be Jesus to them. I've never met someone who became a Christian because they lost an argument. But I have come across numerous people who follow Jesus today because others who follow Jesus invested in them. I think those are the greater things. The greater things that have an internal impact that we may never know. You've heard the famous quote, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." And you and I have that opportunity every single day. But I want to take just a moment for those who are hurting. Because we, as a church, and I was talking to one of our shepherds this last week, there have been some really heavy news that we've received lately. With Samantha, with Ben, with Hattie. And there are so many others. People who are hurting right now. Where the ground has shifted. Where the path is uncertain. And you're wondering what's next. Because you want to know what happens after this. But you don't need to. Because you don't need all the answers. You simply need the way. And His name is Jesus. And maybe you don't know the way. But I can promise you this. The way knows you. And He has not let you go. And He has not stopped pursuing you. And He still loves you. And if you will surrender to Him, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 10,000th time, if you will surrender to Him, if you will lay down your life and invite Him to be your Savior, to be baptized into Him, to begin this new life with Him, that little by little, life returns. Not the same life, but a new one. A deeper one. A rooted life. So to those who feel their hearts are troubled today, lean in. Rest in Him. Trust the One who has gone ahead of you. Yahweh, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Because in the midst of uncertainty, Jesus doesn't give directions. He gives Himself. Father, we thank You so much for this time. And God, we are grateful to gather. We are grateful to be Your people. And we're so thankful, Father, that You love us. Father, for those this morning who are struggling, who are hurting, who are broken, who are unsure of what lies next. Father, my prayer is simply that they would feel your presence. The God who comes to dwell among us, that you would be with them, that you would fill their heart, their soul, their mind with your presence, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them peace, that you would give them joy in the midst of the heartache. Father, we ask that you be present with your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.